Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Welcome back to a depressing day on the Hardline. Stick around. We will tell you and we will bring you down with us. It will be a lot of fun, I can assure you. Actually, if there was ever a day that you just needed to vent, if you got any problems, call in. You can tell us about your problems. We're telling you about all of ours at the University of Missouri, at St. Louis University, and with the NCAA. The NCAA is an absolute joke, and they, similar to Roger Goodell, when there is something to handle, they make sure to handle it improperly. Every time. Roger Goodell, to the point where Sean Payton was wearing underneath his little fleece yesterday the clown shirt of Roger Goodell, who was made by Barstool Sports. They made a picture of Roger Goodell, and it's a very distinct color. See, it's like a teal, and it's a picture of Roger Goodell smiling with a giant clown nose on. And he was wearing that underneath his little fleece, zipped down just enough so you knew what the shirt was. He wouldn't show it all the way, but he's like, our commissioner is a clown and everybody knows it. And that's a guy who's on the competition committee. Similarly, the NCAA does the same thing. The NCAA has no interest in what is good for the student-athlete. It has absolutely no interest in treating schools equally or fairly. It only has interest in making an example when it feels like it and doing what is most convenient for the NCAA and their success with the bigger schools and the people that they deem to matter. If this would have happened to Auburn, you'd never hear about it. You wouldn't even know that something happened. They'd say, inconclusive evidence, sorry, hard to tell. If this would have happened to USC, look, do you know what happened at USC for Pete Carroll to eventually get chased? He was buying houses for Reggie Bush's mother, mm-hmm. All right? This was a tutor who said, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but yeah, I'll do some homework for you. They bought Reggie Bush's mom a house and got in trouble. All right. They gave Cam Newton's dad 200 G's to come to school there. They created made-up classes so kids could pass. Missouri had a tutor who said, hey, man, I guess I could. Yeah, the answer's 7. The answer's 7. And Missouri got drilled. It just doesn't make any sense. We're going to continue to vent about this throughout the program. But first we're going to talk about St. Louis University, Billikens. The Billikens last night, I watched the second half, Rammer. It was my wife's birthday, so I missed the first half. We went out to...
Did you have a nice time?
Yeah, I went to Texas Roadhouse. She loves that place. And
did she have a nice time?
I think so, yeah.
What did she eat?
Salad. She's fit.
Why go to Texas Roadhouse to get a salad?
I don't know. I got a steak. It was her idea.
You had a steak?
Yeah, they have really good rolls.
They do have really good rolls.
Yeah.
I go to occasionally the one in Arnold.
Ah, yes. It's so good. So anyway.
No, wait. This is interesting.
Okay.
I'm avoiding the topic at hand. That's not very, it's thinly disguised,
uh-huh,
isn't it?
Uh-huh.
But see, like Mizzou, now I admitted it, like Mizzou did, and you're probably going to hammer me now. See, apparently that's the way we do it.
Well, yeah. That's true.
So, so you guys went out to dinner. It was nice.
We did. It was nice. It is.
Do you guys at this point in your relationship, do you understand the need? You will when you have kids, for sure. I hope you'll remember to do it, to have time where it's just the two of you. Because you're so busy. You have so many balls in the air. And I should know, does your beautiful wife work?
She does. She does. She does IT placement.
So between the two of you, there's at least 4 full-time jobs going on. So.
Yeah, you could probably say. If you call this full-time. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean.
We prep like it's full-time. We're only here for 2 hours.
So, to have just couples time, just the two of you.
Yeah.
Really important.
Now, the issue with working in the media is that it's never-ending. There's always something to read. There's always something to watch. So, even last night, when she took some time to sit down and answer a lot of text messages and things from the day, throughout the day, people were texting her and writing on Facebook wall and all that good stuff. But she took some time to do that. I had SLU on the big TV and Mizzou on my phone because the games were going on simultaneously. And
so you were really screaming at both.
That was horrible. I tell you what, Wiley, I know you said he can shoot a little bit. He has a really flat shot. He shot
it's
a few from the corner.
It's flat, and it's not a knuckleball, but it has a very slow rotation.
So unless he's just on, and I've seen guys like that. You know, Allen Iverson didn't have much of an arch. He did, that's why it always hit the back of the rim and went straight down. That's what happens when you got no arch, you know.
That's right.
Steph Curry is a perfect swish every time.
It's hard to with a less arch. You have and it's geometry.
Yeah.
Everybody knows this. I don't know geometry. I just said that. But the geometry is the flatter your shot, the more perfect your mechanics have to be.
That's exactly right.
You have much less margin for error.
So maybe Wiley is a guy that can just get dialed in and nail it. But like what I saw last night, admittedly, you've seen infinitely more SLU basketball than I have. But just watching him, he and Bess was a guy a little bit different. Bess actually has a nice-looking shot in it because I was watching after you
and
said
he's worked
he's really figured it out over the last few years. But Wiley took a few in the corner back-to-back. And I'm like, that's just got no chance of going in. Unless you are just scorching fire, ain't happening. And he front-rimmed it every time. So,
but that's why he was brought in. It's as a grad transfer. So, yeah, it's, you know, this team is so odd relative to the numbers. And I know so much of we get too caught up into the numbers, but that's sports today. And the last three box scores have been ridiculous. So for a team who can't score, St. Louis University scores 81 points. For a team that is a top 20 defender, everybody in the country agrees, they give up 84 to a team that was 7-13.
Yep.
It's confounding. To a team that you out-rebound by 12, you out-offensive rebound them 21-5, right? You hit a reasonable amount of free throws, 70% for SLU. That's good for any team. That's good. That's fine. Yeah. It's 70%. So you do all those things. You have a positive assist turnover ratio in the paint category, off turnovers category, second chance category, fast break category, bench points category. You win all the categories, all of them, and you lose 84-81.
Because you let them go on a run with about 8 minutes left, and then when you decided to get your head back in the game with 2 minutes left, you almost got back into it and couldn't finish.
Now, here's something we've seen Travis Ford use a small handful of times, and it's worked every time, and that is full court pressure.
Uh-huh.
The issue, though, is he doesn't have the depth
That's right.
to do it for more than a few minutes at a time. So here is the question if you're the coach. Do I go ahead and take a shot at it, and rather than use it just at the end, maybe open with it, wait till late in the half, maybe open the second, you know, pick a couple of spots for
right.
the game to go on to a couple possessions and then back off. It's indisputable. Every time they've employed full court pressure, it's worked.
Yes.
It's worked. So, you know, but you're a coach and you don't have those players, so what do you do? And having Demarius Jacobs injured, that hurts a little bit. They got to get him going again to give him another guard to help him do those things. So they're really, really in a tough spot. Three-point shooting, even though you had seven threes, you still didn't shoot a good percentage. And so this is a team that is at a crossroads, and when Rock had to leave us for a moment. I wanted to play.
Oh, he's not playing it. You had to tell someone.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, David. David, you're running. Do you have the quote last night from Travis Ford, David, regarding the team having to realize they're not that good and they've got to be better? Do you have a quote like that?
Let us know when you find that, please.
What's the last one? Okay, David's talking to us. We're trying to find that quote. We'll get to it in a minute, maybe after the next break. But Travis said Travis told Charlie Marlow. Charlie was just telling us that the team was at a little bit of a crossroads,
mm-hmm.
and he felt like while they acknowledged it, didn't maybe necessarily believe it until last night. You've been on teams. You've seen things that didn't go according to plan. And sometimes it takes a hard wake-up call to get it. And sometimes you don't ever get it. Sometimes you may understand that you got to do X, Y, Z, and you're just not capable of doing it. But Travis, you know, I think Travis understands that They're in a bad place right now. Mm-hmm. And you lose three in a row, and two of them are at home. And that's really unacceptable. You say, well, you don't accept it. It's unacceptable. Well, because they say, well, the thing I always throw at guys, and I say it's a must win. Well, if you don't win, what? What's happening is every loss like this hurts your chances to win the postseason tournament. You say, well, how can that be? That's not for another
seeding.
5 weeks.
Yeah.
Because of seeding, because the number of games you have to win in Brooklyn to win that deal. You know, you want to put yourself in a position to get the double bye. I mentioned this the other day. Mm-hmm. And each time you lose a game, at this point now, home or road, each time you lose, it hurts your chances to get a good seed, which hurts your chances to win. Doesn't mean you can't. It just hurts the chances.
Yeah, why make it harder than you have to, especially when you have a 7-win team on the road at your place that you are clearly better than?
Right.
That's what you're talking about. I mean, it's okay. Never write off a loss and say, well, guys just didn't show up tonight. We'll have it tomorrow. Will you? Because you didn't have it the night before either. And you haven't had it certain nights. I mean, SLU has played some close games and pulled close games out that we're proud of them for pulling out, but some of which they shouldn't have been in the first place.
That's correct.
So when you have a reputation of that and that becomes consistently who you are, eventually this is what happens to you.
I believe David has that quote I was looking for. Post-game, Travis, who is great with the media. Oh, and before we go to that, I didn't want any backlash to fall on Coach. He did not do radio post-game last night. He was in the locker room with the team, as you might guess, with a devastating loss, a little longer than the duration of the postgame. As we signed off, he was coming out to do postgame. So I don't want anybody to think he was trying to duck radio. He was not.
Could you hear what was going on in the locker room?
No, fortunately, we're a couple hundred feet away, and they're behind closed doors.
All right.
But I bet if we were in the hallway, we could have heard it.
Yeah, there wasn't like a giant hole in the door?
I did feel some vibrations. I thought it was an earthquake.
Yep.
Maybe that was
yep.
So anyway, but he did talk to the media, and including this comment to Charlie Marlowe.
You know, we've got to hold these young men accountable to respond the best we can. And then they need great internal leadership. Everybody's from the time they get up in the morning to the time they go to bed need to commit themselves to being the best person they can be, from classwork to practice to doing the extra. Winning is a mentality as much as it is a physicality. And right now we don't have the right mentality.
You know, Rammer, I think that's exactly what Coach has to say after a loss like that, that there is no other thing to come out and say. But the team, as you mentioned, lacks depth. And it lacked depth before Cartier Gordon transferred, and especially afterwards. Now you're playing on it. You have guys playing that really shouldn't be out there quite yet. You know, Hankton is borderline to me.
He did have a decent game. I think offensively he's ready to contribute. Can he do it defensively? He did last night.
He did.
He was a breath of fresh air. And so as a
coach, I think Wiley's borderline too, though. So when you have multiple borderline guys,
it's a problem.
You're subbing one for the other.
Right. Right, because you know this guy can do X, but he can't do Y.
That's right.
The other guy can do Y, but he can't do X.
That's right.
And you can't
sub offense.
You can't do
defense.
It like Iowa women's basketball. Have one guy on one end. They won't let you do that.
No.
So the it's a good idea though.
That's a good idea.
The guys you brought in to shoot, and I'm not picking on them. I love them. They're both terrific guys in their own way. Deion Wiley, who Coach has talked about since he's been here, really remarkable basketball IQ for a team that overall may not have the best basketball IQ. Tremaine Isabel is the other guy you brought in to score. Shoot and score, but score more than shoot. You know what I mean, the differences. Anyway, and quite frankly, they've been real hit and miss that way. Deion's had two great games, and the Bills won both of them, and they were big. Tremaine has a handful of really nice games and has been a good contributor, but it's hit and miss. Are you at a point where you got to say, you know, Fred Thatch was one of our big recruits, and he's done some good things this year. Casey Hankton is healthy now, and while he's a little light in the wallet to be playing a four defensively, he's quick enough and has the mentality, and he can shoot and score. Maybe it's time to play those two guys more than the veteran guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I try to – I love – one of my many failings is that I love coaches and I love coaching.
Yep.
I'm just fascinated by it. I really, really am. And at some point, you may have to go, not that you're giving up on the season, but you can't keep doing the same thing every night and expect a different result. And so maybe changing the equation a little bit will help you. And it'd be different if you were had young guys playing in front of veterans and not getting it done. That's an easy fix.
Right.
But you've got veterans who aren't getting it, or that's not an easy fix. I'm trying to think of the way I'm.
Let's start over.
You got young guys on the bench. Veterans are there. It's tough taking them out of the lineup and
that's
putting
right.
young guys in. It's a tough pill for a veteran to swallow.
Right.
And that's where they are if they want to go that route. They may not want to. They might not think the freshmen are ready for heavy minutes yet. That's why you have a coach to make those decisions.
Yeah,
but you might be at that point. I don't know what you think about that.
Well, Jeff Goodman on Twitter was pointing out yesterday. Did I say his name right? Jeff Goodman?
Yeah.
He said, where's everybody that was ripping me for saying the A-10 is a one-team conference? Meaning he's not saying that there's only one good team. He's saying there's only going to be one tournament bid. And he said, where is everybody now? Because he was talking right after SLU's loss.
Well, I'm not there because I agreed with him.
Yeah, exactly. You were. And his point is that you have guys and teams like this who do have a high potential, but that most of the conference is fairly inconsistent. And
That's a great point. Absolutely. Even the good teams are inconsistent.
Right. And so when you are Travis Ford here, you're lining up against a team any night of the week that you can beat. And when you have Richmond, who has 7 wins, come into your building, and they beat you, and it wasn't real fluky. They took over with about 8 minutes left. Now, I don't know if they could do it again, but last night wasn't fluky.
They had a run in the first half, too, where they took over.
Right.
Yeah.
So, meaning I didn't think they just got crazy. It's like, no, they hit some shots, but they weren't crazy shots.
No.
And they played some defense as they should, and it wasn't fluky. So when somebody comes in and beats you, that's the time where you do reevaluate. Let's go ahead and play some guys. There are a few guys in this. Javon Best, nobody can argue with how good that is.
I think he's all-conference.
Yes, I agree with you.
First-team all-conference.
I think Fred Thatch, he needs to be out there, right? You have Jordan Goodman. Goodman, thank you. Who's been inconsistent, but he's got to be out there. You have some guys that have to be out there, but we talked about Wiley. We talked about Hankton. DJ Foreman is very good, still inconsistent, too. So your problem is you have so many inconsistent guys in one dude. Yes, he's all-conference, but SLU is the type of school. Obviously, it's a basketball school. There's no football team. But when you think of SLU, there should be more than one Javon Best on this team.
Well, now this we're going to go full circle, tying this back into what happened with Missouri today. And it's not coincidental that I mentioned the Title IX secret police. This is still ramifications from that debacle.
Yeah.
Because the shooters you had were better than the shooters you have now that you had to bring in because you lost those guys.
Right.
So it you're still paying for that.
I hate secret police.
I do too.
And nobody knows what Title IX means.
Well, they're distinctly un-American.
Distinctly.
Secret police, distinctly un-American.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's what our grandfathers fought for.
Damn right.
I'm just...
No jackbooted stormtroopers in this place, thank you very much.
Well, I know.
Unfortunately, though, there are.
Apparently there are, yeah.
Title IX, I'm sure, I don't know the ins and outs of all, but I'm sure it's done far more good than it has bad. I'm sure that's true. But I think Title IX needs to be reevaluated because it's a do-whatever-you-want committee.
It's secret police.
Yeah.
And what they do is, understandably, for those, when you get into, in particular, with victims of... alleged victims of sexual misconduct, you have to protect their privacy. But by doing that, the whole system becomes secret, and that's when it gets a little unwieldy. And with no transparency, while we understand why, but with no transparency, there's a helpless feeling for everyone involved.
Why do you have to keep it a secret, though?
Well, for privacy.
Why? There's no privacy when you go to the legal system. If you're going to punish people... That needs to be public, and this is why I knew something when I was playing. By the way, according to Title IX, it's like against the law to if you know some sexual misconduct or any sort of domestic abuse and all that kind of stuff. If you don't report it, that's I guess a crime, at least a Title IX crime. And I was told during for one of the basketball players that eventually was removed from the team that the girl actually. Told me, hey, he raped me. I'm like, well, go tell somebody. What's the matter with you? She's like, you can't tell anybody. I'm like, okay, then nothing's going to happen, right? And in fact, eventually she went and told the coach who said, go tell somebody. I can't do anything. Like, great.
I don't have the authority to, yeah.
I can't kick him off the team. I want you to go tell somebody. That's horrible. Go tell somebody. And she didn't want to do it. And so it never happened. And eventually he was kicked off the team and such. But bottom line is, if you're not willing to go public, now, she, according to Title IX, I got all the different stuff, but
right.
The bottom line is, yeah, I think you should have to go public. What protection? Who's coming after you? If in the real world, like, you, college is already a bubble, right? College, you're sitting in a bubble of, like, we have safe spaces and all the different things that are going on. College is a bubble. And then you're going to get out in the real world, and there's nobody protecting you. College is already protecting you. If you do it while you're there, who's coming after you? Who's shunning you?
Well, I think there's something to be said for protecting victims or even alleged victims of sexual misconduct or worse. I think there's something to that.
And at the expense of a fair process, though.
That's the issue. That's the issue. And I don't know that I'm smart enough to figure the answer, but I just don't know. I do know that I don't like the aspect of, and I'm saying this a little bit to be a wise guy, but really to make a point, the aspect of a secret police
yeah.
that can do whatever they want, unfettered, unchallenged. That's bothersome. Now, when you have real misconduct relative to basketball or football, of course it doesn't matter. But you do want fairness because it affects so many people.
So I hate, I know you didn't just do this, but I hate when people say it's just basketball. Obviously, you make a living calling basketball. I know you think it's important. But let's talk about a guy like Jevon Bess, who says somebody came up and accused him of something. We're going to say basketball doesn't matter to a guy who's actually going to make his living doing this? And there are a lot of guys at the levels we're talking about, this is their livelihood and the potential future of not just their – like if they're good enough, you could set up future generations. And we're telling you it's just a game? No, it's not. Let's take away your ability to go become an accountant.
That's a very good point.
So I hate when people do that. It's just a game.
Yeah.
No, it's not to these guys. And when you try to minimize what they're doing, not only to get through college, because you may be taking that away, which would be their eventual
and
livelihood.
That has happened.
In whatever else you're doing. Say they were just going to be a four-year player like me. But if I would have been accused of sexual assault when I was in college, I wouldn't be sitting here with the microphone. Nobody wants me on the air, right? So you're taking away, if there's not a process where you can see inside and what's actually happening.
And a transparent process. That's right.
That's an issue. And like I said, I know you weren't just doing that, but everybody.
No, you're right. That's an excellent point.
Everybody tries to excellent minimize point. What the sports are. The sports, fine, but what just we just
these
talked
are
about this.
These are lives of real people.
Yes, yeah, so especially college sports, and we try to act like it's amateurism and whatever. This isn't playground 7-on-7 flag football. It's not. These guys aren't doing it for fun. I probably still would have, but I bet you most guys wouldn't be out there just for fun in college playing football on the side if they still had to pay their way through college.
Right,
all that.
Right.
It's your job now. And when you are at that level, you have a chance to go make a real job out of it and set yourself up. Look, Kurt Warner's kids aren't going to have to work. Kurt Warner back in 2001, whatever, signed a 7-year, $47 million contract.
First of all, I agree with everything you're saying. But just to be devil's advocate a little bit, the percentage of the Kurt Warners, what you want to do is have the rules apply the best to the other 98% of guys that will be done when college is over, and fairness to them. And I think this applies to them, too.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about the Kurt Warners and whoever else, at that level, you don't know who that is. If you're a Division I guy.
Oh, at the time, you have no idea. Right. Right.
So that's why it's so important, too. Yeah, that may be. Like, okay, everybody knew who LeBron was. But did you know who Steph Curry was?
No.
Nobody did. He was at Davidson. Everybody whiffed. That's why he was at Davidson. He was Del Curry's kid, and he still ended up at Davidson.
Right.
All right.
Right.
So.
Good point.
And then he became Steph Curry. You don't know who that guy is going to be. And the minimizing of sports because when we played it, it didn't matter is just so stupid. Because when they're playing it, it does matter. Yeah, Rock. Let's wrap it up here. For this segment. We're at Schnucks, everybody. This place is fantastic. I would recommend coming on down. I had never been to this one. This place, I like the layout. I like the giant arch outside. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan.
I love Schnucks.
Schnucks is great. If you want to come down and hang out with us, 1032 Lime Ferry Road. We're going to come back, talk some more Mizzou, talk some more college sports, talk whatever. Super Bowl has happened on Sunday. I don't know if you know that or not. We'll get into that in a bit. It's Hardline.